This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Our topic of discussion today is why companies sink. The idea of it being is because it's the 106th anniversary of the maiden voyage of the Titanic from Southampton. So we're talking about Titanic syndrome, why companies sink and how to reinvent your way out of any business disaster. We've asked you guys to give us some feedback via WhatsApp and via Twitter. We've had a couple, actually, via Twitter. Let me go to that first. High Five Bread, locally. Mm-hmm. In my head, I think I've seen it recently, but I can't be 100% sure.
I think you've seen like the muffins and cupcakes that have High Five on them.
Could be.
I haven't seen like the loaf of bread that have High Five on
Tutti Frutti?
Oh, Tutti Frutti, yeah. Frozen yogurt.
Gone.
Yeah.
Has it gone?
I think it's gone.
Replaced by that other one. What's it called?
Yao Yao?
Yes, that's it. I've also got Dayu as well, of course, somebody sent in. Dayu, if you didn't already know, was a company back over in, they're a Korean company, second only at the time to the Hyundai Group. Mm-hmm. They had cars, they did electronics, buses, precision industries, textiles, declared bankrupt in 1999.
Wow.
In my head, again, I'm thinking, oh, I'm sure I've seen those, but obviously, clearly, I haven't.
Hmm. Unless you've seen like remnants of their products just lying,
just lying here and there.
Yeah. Still in use.
Still sending stuff, folks. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter, Instagram, at BFM Radio. WhatsApp?
Yeah. You know, when I was listening to the talkback ad just before we came on, it reminded me of Pizza Hut's ad, and then it reminded me of Shakey's. And I don't think Shakey's is here anymore. We used to have a pizza chain called Shakey's.
Shakey's?
Shakey's Pizza. I haven't seen them in ages. Then there's also a message from Weejo, who says that before Facebook there was Friendster and MySpace.
Yes. Oh, yeah. yes.
Those
yes,
are
yes.
Titanic social networks. There is one. Let me pick a few more. Yeah. Norm says Tower Records. Even lost out. Yeah. I used to love Tower Records.
HMV, of course, was another one that's gone by.
HMV.
HMV. Have we not thought about that?
Yeah. There's one from Johan who says, I always wonder what happened to Adam. They were the pioneer telco along with Digi and Maxis. Yes. I have no idea. I think I might be mistaken, but I think Adam merged or became Time at one point. I think so. I can't be sure, but I think so. There was also, numbers 1930 says, anyone remember Smart Shop? Smart Shop was a TV marketing sort of like, what do you call those things where they sell products on TV?
Telemarketing.
Telemarketing, yeah. So Smart Shop was like a premier prime telemarketing station or sort of like program that we would have late at night after all the other programs finished.
Mm. I am told by our producer that High Five actually closed shop in 2016.
Wow.
So there you go. Again, I haven't seen it, but I obviously thought I did.
Yeah. There's one more thing. Shakey's apparently all of them were converted to Domino's in 2005.
All of them?
Huh.
Wow. Mm. Domino's dominating. Swiftly moving on. Final story of the day. What marketers can learn from the Titanic? Arv, what have you got?
Yeah. So this is a pretty interesting article, and it's actually about how the marketing for the Titanic might have caused or sort of contributed to its disaster. Because they say that one very significant element that's often overlooked is the Titanic's advertisement and marketing strategy. The ship was, of course, a part of White Star Line's fleet. And White Star Line's marketing plan for the Titanic was both wildly effective and tragically flawed because significant mistakes were made that ultimately contributed to the disaster that occurred during the ship's maiden voyage. There are valuable lessons to be learned from Titanic's marketing. One of it is, and they've broken it down into like five or six points. One of it is be realistic. And they have clippings of ads that came out during that time. And it says that the vessels are designed to be unsinkable. And it says that it was marketed as an unsinkable ship. So it's true that you can exaggerate, and it did put people on the ship. It convinced people to buy tickets. But being honest and forthright is a much better option because it convinces prospects to come back for more. In this case, of course, that didn't happen. The trick is to know the limits of your product and promote it in an appealing way without embellishment. Most customers just want something that can fulfill a need or solve a particular problem. They don't necessarily want an unsinkable ship. They just want a ship that gets them from point A to point B, which again didn't happen.
Right.
Number two, be wary of word of mouth. Many of the ship's most assertive unsinkable claims came from word of mouth, not exactly from the marketing campaign themselves. And White Star marketers did little to quash these rumors. So there was one person, a survivor on the ship, Margaret Devani, who said, I thought that it would be a safe steamship and I had heard it would not sink. Thousands boarded the Titanic with false sense of security and wholeheartedly believe the unsinkable claim. And comparing it to today's like social media context, potential customers can sometimes blow your claims out of proportion in ways you might not plan for. So it's a good idea to stay on top of what the public is saying about your product and ensure that as few people as possible get the wrong impression. Number three, marketing influences your staff too. So Captain Edward Smith, he was overconfident in the Titanic. He sort of like ignored all the safety hazards. It's been sort of like documented how ignorant he was. And there was one deckhand who says God himself could not sink this ship. So they sort of overlooked all the possible things that could happen to the ship and they were lax about it. Even White Star's vice president in New York was quoted the morning of the Titanic sinking as saying, "We place absolute confidence in the Titanic. We believe that the boat is unsinkable." There's a fine line between confidence and complacency, and if you believe your ship is unsinkable, then why bother looking out for icebergs? By providing accurate and helpful marketing to your prospects, you'll also help prevent misinformation among your staff. A couple of more. There's one that says, "Know your audience." So this was one thing they say that the Titanic got right, because the marketing team actually did something by tailoring their campaign specifically to the individual customer demographics. The most of the ship is meant for the elite and people who could afford those seats and people who had a lot of money, but they could also sell the compartments that were below deck. Instead of trying to sell potential third-class passengers exclusivity on the ship, the White Star allured them with promises of a prosperous future in the US or America. So White Star supplied them or supplied the international booking agents with brochures that addressed the precise needs of their prospects. So instead of saying you can get luxury on the ship and you can enjoy all this service, blah, 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 they said, if you get on the ship, we will take you from point A to point B and we will take you to America where you can find prospects of a better life. And they sort of like,
when you've got a better life, you can come back above deck on the way back.
Yeah. It's basically like human algorithms,
right?
You know, targeting different consumers and what they want. And finally, they say, be responsible. An undeniable oversight was the fact that there weren't enough lifeboats. The ship technically met legal regulations. It had more lifeboat capacity than was actually used. And the lifeboats may have been viewed as a liability to the ship's marketing. If the ship was unsinkable, why would it even need lifeboats? So that's probably why White Star campaign felt that the passengers would feel less secure if they saw an overabundance of safety precautions. So to give people the false assumption that you don't need lifeboats, it sort of took off lifeboats from the boat,
right,
which was, you know, like a huge mistake.
Stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, getting in the mind of for a moment, the shipbuilders and the marketers and what—it's brilliant marketing, you know. And looking back at it now, though, we're like, oh, that's debatable whether that should have gone out, whether or not we'd have done it, and how would we have changed things now.
Yeah.
But for the time, groundbreaking marketing.
Yeah, I don't think you can even do something like that today. Like, you can't say something is completely 100% guaranteed. Like, isn't there like a law in advertising these days?
Well, didn't they say cryptocurrency was blockchain rather was completely unhackable and unbreakable? And what happened not too long ago, of course, it was hacked and broken into. So
yeah,
you're right. I don't think we could do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you have billions of people with access to the internet. You say something is unhackable, someone's going to find a way to hack it,
and they're going to take it as a challenge.
Yeah.
They are going to be that iceberg, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think it's good that they fine-tune like marketing sort of standards these days. You can't use the word 100% on anything. People still do, but it's like, you know, it's smaller scale and I don't think it causes as much harm. But you can't say that something is 100% guaranteed to not do something.
There's one thing in here, though, that I kind of looked at, and I refer back to what Frida was talking about yesterday, about being wary of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing on our topic about whether or not ratings affect your decisions on, you know, whether or not you choose to stay at a hotel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what she said was, above everything else, she takes the word of mouth of others over the ratings, which I think is a great idea. As do I. You know, if somebody recommends something to me, then it's more likely that I'm going to go with that option. But now, with this era that we're in, with social media and the idea of recommendations, and we have a lot of people who come in here and do workshops and they say, you know, recommendations is like your bread and butter.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of leaves you in that quandary of, like, on one hand, I'm being told that I should be listening to recommendations and I should be listening to what people are saying about this product and about this business. But on the other hand, if you take it too seriously, you can end up going the way of the Titanic.
Yeah. So I think there's a fine line. It's like a balance between how much you push your product versus how much you're actually falsely marketing it.
Right.
And I think the Titanic was like falsely marketed in a big way.
In a big way. How not to go the way of the Titanic.
Yeah. We have a clip to sort of end this talk set, and we thought it would be a nice way to sort of cap off this entire topic of Titanic syndrome.
What can I do to prevent the plight of Titanic syndrome? How do I notice it in myself? How do I notice it in my company? Ask yourself, what is one thing I can do to develop a healthier, happier, and more productive relationship with change? Because when you invite change in your life, when you allow yourself to reinvent, you earn the right to choose a new option. Change is not the enemy. It's a beautiful freedom to make any choice you want.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I've been in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj.
Thanks to our producer today, Christine Wong. If you've missed any part of this show today, of course, our topic of the day was why companies sink, all about Titanic syndrome. We then moved on to...
We spoke about how the Titanic syndrome affected some companies in Malaysia.
What happened to BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm. And then we finished with what marketers can learn from the Titanic itself.
But don't go anywhere. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is a Breakfast Grill replay. CXA Group provides a technology platform that personalizes recommendations for insurance and wellness packages to reduce claims cost and workforce health risks. The Breakfast Grill spoke to them about their plans of becoming the next unicorn in the insurance technology space. That is with Rosalind Chow Koo, the founder and CEO of the CXA Group. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.